We're thankful to be able to come back for the second lesson on what manner of spirit. We're reading in Luke chapter number 9. Our title comes from verse 55. But he turned and rebuked them and said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of." So here we have the Lord Jesus Christ taking opportunity to teach his disciples a very valuable lesson. And that is, you better understand what the whole spirit of Christianity is all about. It's Christianity. It's about Christ. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives. People use Christianity to write people off, have nothing to do with it. They don't believe like us, and they're not of God. He said that's not the way it is. So the problem was, what manner of spirit you're of. Let me read you some verses before we get back into this. Look at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12. Proverbs 14 and verse number 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. They don't know what spirit they are of. It seems right, but it winds up in spiritual death. In chapter 16 of Proverbs, in verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Brother Gene, that's the same verse. No, it's two different verses, but it's the same content. Why did God put it in there twice? Because you really need to know what manner of spirit ye are of. Proverbs 28, it's serious. You need to know. God put it in there twice. Proverbs 28 and verse 6. Better is the poor that walketh in uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. And it seems like you can look and see that on the news just any day you want to, that the rich people, millionaires in Congress, presidents, this, that, and the other, we give more credence to them because they're rich. But this verse says it's better is the poor that walketh in uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. We need to understand that. We need to understand what manner of spirit these people are of and what manner of spirit we are of. The book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 16, and verse number 12. Jeremiah 16, and verse number 12. And ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. So you're walking after your own evil heart, and therefore they don't want to listen to God because you are perverting the ways of the Lord. Turn over one page to Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9. The heart is deceitful above all things. You get that? The heart is deceitful above all things. And he says, where was it? Verse 9. Okay. Even to give every man according to his ways. I skipped the verse. Let me get back to verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord search the heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. we will be rewarded according to our hearts. So we need to make sure that we have our hearts proper before Almighty God. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5. The book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's why the flood came. It was the wickedness of man's heart. You say, well, the flood came and that straightened that out. Really? Turn over to Genesis chapter 8. And verse 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, Genesis 8:20, and took of every clean beast, of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, a sweet aroma. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. The flood didn't straighten that out. It just was the population of the world was all apostatized except Noah. God said, I can't stand it. He wiped them all out off the face of the earth. But once he smelled this sweet, savory odor, which represents the aroma that he would sense from Christ's death on Calvary, he said, I'm going on a credit because Christ is going to come and he's going to be the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. It didn't say that that man got his heart straightened out. It said God determined that he wasn't going to destroy him anymore because it wasn't no use in destroying him. It wasn't going to make his heart any better. He just had a sacrifice. He just had an atonement. There was somebody that would stand in man's stead because man was evil. And God would recover man and become satisfied with man by the travail of his son's soul. He, God the Father, shall see the travail of his, God the Son's soul, and shall be satisfied. Isaiah 53, I believe it's verse 11 or 10. So that's the reason that we have grace and mercy, is because Jesus Christ stands in the presence of God. Listen what the psalmist says in Psalm 51 and verse number 5. Psalm 51, 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. When that egg was fertilized within that female, it was shapen in iniquity from the very outset. As it began to take shape. And I don't know how that little butter bean turns into a human being, but it does. And he says, while that's going on, it was shapen in iniquity. And he says, and then when it came time for me to come out of the womb and be born, it said, in sin did my mother conceive me. So I was in iniquity from the beginning, and I was in sin when I was born. So, dear soul, we need to understand that man's not, he didn't come here in good shape. He came here in terrible shape. And he is totally depraved. And were it not for the sacrifice of all sacrifices that satisfies God and that procured our redemption, Jesus Christ, God would have wiped all of us off the face of the earth. And had nothing else to do with us. So we understand and see that this is the condition of the heart. That's what we're dealing with here. He said, you need to know what manner of spirit ye are of. Well, to do that, you need to know what the condition of the heart is. And therefore, we need to come to God and cry out to God, Lord, cleanse me, help me, don't leave me, purify me. Let thy cross work its work of redemptive grace in my soul, and let my crosses be used, and the afflictions of the righteous be used to purify my heart and mind and bring me on out of sinful excitement of man's spirit into the glorious, redemptive, righteous peace and joy of the Holy Spirit. There's been so much of man's foolishness, hollering amen and jumping up and down and yelling and crying and carrying on, that they think is of the Lord, but it's not. God said it was a still, small voice wherein Elijah came to understand and know God. It wasn't in the roaring fires, but God was not in the fire. It wasn't in the shaking. And you read about in the Valley of Bones, all the loud noise of the bones coming together, the dust being stirred up and the shaking going on, and the body was still dead. And dear soul, a lot of this foolishness going on in the name of religion, hollering and shouting and carrying on, dear soul, if you can't help it, go ahead. But that doesn't mean that God's in it. The Lord is at peace and quiet, and he's in a solemn state of righteousness and glory, and that's what we need to enter into. Oh, my soul. My goodness. Matthew chapter 15, the book of Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 17. Matthew 15, 17. Do you not understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast into the draught? What goes into a man is that's not what defiles him. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Oh, you shouldn't eat that. You know, you can't be sanctified and eat that. You shouldn't consume this or that or the other. That's not the problem. See, you know not what spirit you're of. He said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. They were all consumed about washings, about different things you could or could not eat. Jesus said, the law has got y'all at the place you think because you wash your hands, you're holy. But you got it backwards. You know not what spirit you're of. It's that which come out of your wicked hearts that come forth from your mouth. That's what defiles the man. The book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, that is, when they provoke God in the wilderness, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. You see, religion comes to know God's acts, and they think they know God. But that's not the problem. The problem is they don't know God's ways. They don't understand his personality. They don't understand what he does. They don't understand what his righteousness and holiness causes him to do and not to do. We say, well, we know God's acts. What do you mean? Well, parted the Red Sea. David threw a rock and killed a giant. Understand all that. Jesus fed 5,000 with a little lunch from a little boy. And you're going to face God in eternity with those Bible stories? This old, it's your heart you got to deal with. You know not what spirit you're of. You're satisfied with Bible salvation. You need to have godly salvation. You need to have God in your heart. You need to be of the right spirit. He says, they saw my works 40 years. They have not known my ways. They do always err in their heart. So I swore in my wrath. This is God talking. They shall not enter into my rest. So the apostle says, take heed, brethren. Now, wait a minute. Take heed, brethren. He's talking about those people who are members of the local church. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You may not depart from the membership of the church, but you have departed from the living God. There can be evil hearts of unbelief in those who call themselves brethren. Be careful. He says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you, church members, be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Dear soul, listen, sin is very deceitful. It is a horrible thing that you don't realize that will come upon you and deceive you. And while we think we're doing good, we can have a wicked heart of unbelief. God have mercy. You may say, well, I know the acts of God. Good, the devil does too. But do you know God's ways? Somebody said, well, you know, I saw your brother down yonder doing so-and-so. And you say, wait a minute. You must not have seen my brother. My brother wouldn't do anything like that. I know him. I know his ways. He doesn't act like that. And you won't believe it because you know his person. You know his character. And that's what God said. The problem is, you may know the acts of God, but you don't know the ways of God. You need to get personally acquainted with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what we need to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5. Examine yourselves. Now, this is not to the church and its responsibility to examine you. This is not to your mate or to your friend. This is to you to examine you. It's up to me to examine me. Examine yourselves, listen, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Examine yourselves. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates, except ye be castaways? We need to examine ourselves. How do we do that? When we hear the word of God, we agree with God against ourselves. And that which the word of God says to us and that which God's word shows to us, we own it and say, that's the truth. We don't say, but That's goats. Goats are always butting, but preacher, that ain't. The Word of God is a sharp, double-edged sword. And we don't like it, but it will show up everything that there is in it. It will cut asunder all of our excuses. It will bring us to a place of understanding the mindset of Almighty God, which is a glorious thing. It hurts. It's harmful. It's embarrassing. We don't want to do it. We think everybody can see us when we have the Word of God examining us. Hebrews chapter 12, is it? Here we go again. Man, I hope this is right. Let me go back and see if I can find it. Oh, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, is quick. That means alive. For the word of God is alive and the word of God is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now that's what we need. That is a great and glorious thing. That is an essential thing if we are to know what manner of spirit we are of. Because soulishness produces emotions that if they are religiously oriented, we mistake them for spiritual beliefs. And as I said and have said and will say again, 99% of religion in America is carried on by inordinate affections, emotions, and the spirit of the devil. We get all excited about being excited. This scribe, you couldn't find a man that knew the Word of God better than he did. He knew the Word of God. That was his job. That was his life. That's what he did. And he says, I'm going to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, I don't think so. Wished you would. But you know what? I'll tell you what your problem is. Your foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but I don't have, as a son of man, anywhere to lay my head. And are you sure you want to hook up with somebody like me? Had to borrow a donkey to ride into Jerusalem. Had to borrow a tomb to be buried in. Have you ever heard of anybody having to borrow a grave? But that's okay. He returned it. He didn't need it very long. And are you sure you want to hook up with me? Are you sure you know what true religion is? And you know that preacher that I was telling you about his driveway looked like a runway at the Atlanta airport? He promises those people everything. If you know, God don't want you sick. That's what he tells them. God don't want you poor. And what he does after he gets all that money that they pour into him, every once in a while he'll buy somebody a brand new car and give it to him and say, see old brother so-and-so, he's an old rattle trap he had, he couldn't hardly make it to work, and God has provided him a car. And they all say, whoo, praise God. It really does work. God's going to bless us all, and we're going to get, if he tells them, every dime you put into the collection plate, I'm sure it don't go as low as a dime, it will turn into seed. Oh, and it's going to grow. That's just your seed gift. You need to give God $100. That's your seed gift, and God's going to give you back $1,000. They believe that stuff. And every once in a while, he'll buy one of them something and act like it's a gift from God, a gift from heaven. And they say, oh, it happened to him. Let me put my quarter into the slot machine and pull my lever and see if it comes up three cherries. Maybe it's my time to be lucky. Dear soul, you think that kind of doctrine goes good with Apostle Paul sitting in a Roman jail freezing to death and asking Timothy to please bring him his coat? He's cold. With rats and roach bugs running across his feet in that old nasty jail. Does that sound like God cares about wealth and welfare, you know? Health and wealth gospel? No. You know not what spirit you're of, America. You're in a mess. And if somebody which is the Holy Spirit, doesn't do something, which is regeneration. To turn this nation around, this nation is going to hell en masse. What does that mean? The whole bunch of us, the whole boatload is going straight into hell, thinking that they are all right, but they know not what spirit they are of. Yes, it gets them excited, but it's not the Spirit of God. Yes, it satisfies their need to believe in something outside themselves, but it's not truly spiritually supernatural. It is a deception. That's a key word. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Verse number 8. Verse 7 says, the mystery of iniquity does already work, and it does. Verse 8. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. I never have seen such lying wonders as is going on in our nation today. And with all deceivableness, not some people being deceived, but with the power of all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, thinking they do in a God a service, yet they're falling into hell, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now listen, because, here's the reason, because they receive not the love of the truth. We believe the Bible. Do you love the truth? We believe the Bible. Yeah, but do you love the truth? There's a world of difference. Jesus said, I am the truth. Do you love the Lord Jesus? Then why don't you do what he says? Why don't you get away from that health, wealth, and happiness gospel and get back to the place where the Lord would have you? Well, you know, foxes have holes. He don't have no place to lay his head. I want a new car like he got. You better be careful. Listen. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God, get that? God shall send them strong delusion. Not the devil. May use the devil to do it, and he will, but it's God that originates this. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You can see it everywhere you look in America. Deceived, believing a lie. He said that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God's the one that sends a strong delusion. It's God's strong delusion. It's not man's strong delusion. It's not even Satan's strong delusion. It's stronger than that. It's God's strong, that which he considers to be a strong delusion. I've never seen so much lying going on in our nation as in our nation today. Unbelievable. Every hospital in the entire state of Mississippi is full. Even pediatric hospitals. So that the main hospitals, the big hospitals that usually receive people that the smaller hospitals cannot provide an intensive care room for, they send them to the big hospitals. Big hospitals say, can't handle it, can't do it. The health system in Mississippi has failed. There's no sense in dialing 911. There's not going to be anybody there to respond. Ambulances with people inside them are sitting in the parking lots of hospitals with patients inside them waiting to hear if there's anybody in the hospital that might have died and left a bed open where they can come out of this ambulance and be put in that bed. It's unbelievable, folks. The lying that's going on, it's unbelievable. Well, you know, I'm not going to take that shot. It's of the devil. Well, let me ask you something. When you went into the first grade or kindergarten, did you not have to take a smallpox vaccination? Well, yeah. What's the difference? But because God has sent a strong delusion on this nation, because we have spit in God's eye and we have reduced spiritual Christianity down to carnal, traditional religion, God has sent a strong delusion that we might believe a lie and be damned. We're in a mess, folks. We're not up against just the devil. We're up against God. Because we have lied and said we are a Christian nation, and we're not any more a Christian nation than pigs can fly. We don't believe in God, not in the God of the Bible. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you keep my commandments. If a man love me, he will keep my commandments." We're not keeping his commandments. We're out for greed. I want a new car. We want what we want. Spit in God's eye. Neither were they thankful. Foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Lord have mercy. What a mess we're in. God have mercy. Listen, go to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse number 19. First Kings 22:19, and he said, this is Micah the prophet, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said, On this manner, and another said, On that manner." God was holding court, and all the angels and spirits and whatever. He said, "Anybody got any ideas how we might deceive Ahab?" And they said, "Well, I'll do it like this." And I said, "I'll do it like that." Verse number 21, "And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him." You understand this is to persuade a king to do that which is contrary to God, and he's going to die because of it. And the Lord said, "How are you going to do it? Wherewith?" And he said, "I will go forth and put a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets." And he said, "Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so." That was God talking to that spirit. Yep, that's going to work. Thou shalt persuade him. Go do it. "Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Because they receive not the love of the truth, God shall send strong delusion that they might believe a lie and be damned." A lying spirit is in the mouth of preachers, in the mouth of congressmen, in the mouth of leaders of this nation. A lying spirit is in the mouth of people that have opportunity for whatever reason, usually for monetary gain. to lie to you and to persuade you of things that's not true, because God is sick of this nation saying we're a Christian nation and we're lying on God. We are not a Christian nation. We may be a religious nation, but we're not a Christian nation. The Spirit of God hath left us. We are in a mess. And God shall send strong delusion that they might believe a lie and be damned. 1 Kings chapter 19. While we're here, we're going to come eventually, and I was hoping we'd get to it before this, but we're going to come to a man that God did call in Luke 9:59-60, and he has an excuse for not coming immediately. But then we're going to get to another one that volunteers in verses 61-62. And he is a volunteer also, caught up in the Spirit, tasted the Word of God, got influenced by the Holy Ghost, just influenced, enlightened, but not enlivened. Got all excited about being excited because he was in that congregation when the Spirit of God saved, genuinely saved people, and he felt and sensed it, and it was just in the spirit of man, not in the Holy Spirit. And he said, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said, I don't need you, because if a man puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. He won't plow a straight road. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, we have a similar situation. 1 Kings 19 and verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphath. This is Elijah finding Elisha, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. He with the 12th. He wasn't plowing with all 12 yokes. There was 11 other men with 2 oxen, I guess, in front of him plowing, and he was in the rear. He was the son. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. He called him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. Just like the man in Luke chapter 9, verses 61-62, who knew not what spirit he was of. What did Elijah say? And Elijah said to him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? It's not me calling you, it's God. If you can't go, that's fine with me. I don't need you to go for my sake. I just thought you would follow God for your sake. It says, and he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. The instruments of the oxen. It's talking about the plow. Anything that was of wood that would burn, they busted it up and boiled the oxen's flesh and gave everybody to eat and had a feast right there and a farewell feast. And he never did go back home. He just went straight from that and followed after Elijah. Dear soul, Jesus told Judas, that that thou doest, do quickly. Well, I'm going to adopt those words, but not in the same context. I don't want to speak to you thinking that you're Judas, but I want to tell you, don't hesitate. The time is drawing nigh. The end of this thing is very much upon us. And I want to tell you, that thou doest, do quickly. Don't worry about going back and kissing your granny and making everything right. God is going to burn everything up with fervent heat and destroy this entire world. He is going to separate all the sheep nations from the goat nations, and he's going to judge them, and the end of the world is going to be over with, and it's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. God is going to reveal himself, and we are all going to be caught up. So I want to warn you again. I want to instruct you again. I want to plead with you again, that thou doest, do quickly. Well, preacher, you don't have no right telling me that. Really? I got the Holy Spirit. I got God, the Holy Spirit, sending me over here to say this. You're sitting there looking at it in the privacy of your own chamber. How did that happen? How did I get to be able to speak to you like that on YouTube? Whoever knew what YouTube was years ago. How did that happen? You don't think that God has raised up a voice and is challenging you to be careful about your spirit and understand that just because you got that warm, fuzzy feeling or had one years ago, that you think you're right with God? This all is faith, not feelings. The just shall live by faith. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Let me give you something. And I 2 Peter chapter 2. Let me tell you what I'm not going to be able to tell you. We don't have time. Would be a good study for you for the oncoming days. 2 Peter chapter 2. Beginning with verse number 9. Do you ever look at your watch and then 2 seconds later you forgot what you looked at? Man. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. The Lord knoweth how, and I'm going to say both because it's going to have two things. Both, number one, to deliver the godly out of temptation. Thank God for that. But, number two, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So at one and the same time, God is delivering the godly out of temptation while at the exact same time he's reserving the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. They despise government. You're not telling me what to do. Won't have any authority over them. These are the unjust that God is reserving for punishment. First of all, they're not going to be told what to do. They despise government. And he says, presumptuous are they. They'll believe any old stupid theory that comes floating down YouTube. Any old thing that somebody puts on Facebook, they'll believe it. But the Word of God, not so much. They are presumptuous. They presume upon these things. Self-willed. I'm all right. I go my way, do what I want to do, and I'll be okay. Really? They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. What does that mean? It means they're critical of everybody and even those who have been shown and proven to be those who speak for the voice of God. They're not afraid to speak evil of them. It's amazing. I'm not on Facebook, but what I hear of how many people are critical of godly and good men just flows like water from them. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not accusation against them before the Lord. What are these people that don't that despise any authority, any government over them. Who are these people that are presumptuous? Who are these people that are self-willed? Verse 12, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. You better be careful. You better be careful. I would rather not be on Facebook or anything else that is able to persuade me if I am self-willed and take that supposition and just because everybody else on Facebook believes it, it might lead you off into it and you stand against God and God said you're going to utterly perish in your own corruption. Now, it goes on down. And it speaks of one, and this is what I wanted you to see. Verse 15, 2 Peter 2:15. Well, they have eyes full of adultery. Verse 14, cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. They are cursed children. Verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray. They were in the right way. They knew the right way. Their mom and daddy taught them the right way. They understood. And at one time they went to church. At one time they read a Bible. But they said, all that's phony and foolishness, that strong delusion has got them. And they cast it aside. And here he gives you an example. And this is what I want to wind up with and give you, if you will, opportunity to study this out in the next week. Which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, 2 Peter 2:16, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. What are you talking about? Here is an example. A false prophet, a harlot prophet named Balaam. How do you know he's a harlot? Because he loved the wages of unrighteousness. He would prophesy for anybody for a dollar. And that's what America's filled with too. Dear soul, I want you to go back over to Numbers chapter 22 and study the Word of God. And see what God did with this prophet and how he instructed him. You will find, if you will study Balaam, in Numbers 22:12, he says, don't go with these people. Because a king named Balak was waving a whole bunch of money and gold in front of his nose, saying, come curse the children of Israel. God said, don't do that. Numbers 22:12. But they come back with more money. And with more dignities, higher officers in the court of Balak, more glamorous. And in verse number 20 of Numbers 22, he said, I'm going to go ask God if he'll let me go. He'd already told him, don't go. He wanted to go so bad he couldn't stand it. He said, well, maybe I didn't hear God right. I'm going to go back and ask. And then God says, well, okay, Numbers 22:20, go. Why did God say go? Because that's what the man wanted to hear. That was a lying spirit. You keep on walking against God and spitting in God's eye, America, you're going to come to the place where God's just going to tell you what you want to hear because he's tired of fooling with you. And then in verse number 32 of Numbers 22, God says, thy way is perverse. That's the problem. Thy way is perverse. You know not what spirit you are of. He kept on till he got God to say what he wanted to hear. And you know, people will leave one church and leave one preacher and go down the road to another church to a different preacher and keep on shopping around till they can find a preacher that will tell them what they want to hear, because they are going to put some money in the offering plate. And you'd be surprised how many preachers can be persuaded by monetary gain and by members coming into church and making them look great and proud. They're not those who are like Christ, smite the shepherd and scatter the flock. Can't take that kind of ridicule. Got to have more people, got to have more money, because that proves that they are of God. No, it don't. It proves that God has shown them that they, or has said that they know not what spirit they are of, and God has sent them strong delusion that they might believe a lie. Study this prophet out, and study how God does in one verse. Numbers 22:12 says, don't go. But then in Numbers 22:20, he said, well, okay, go ahead and go. And the reason is, verse 32, thy way is perverse. Thy way is perverse. And he winds up in Numbers 22, make it Numbers 31. And this will show you, and Peter tells you that he was a false prophet there in 2 Peter chapter 2. But if you will go back and read the accounting of this, I guarantee you'll be scratching your head wondering, well, this was really a false prophet or was a man of God. That's how deceptive this thing is. The Bible said men waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Those people who are used of the devil, those preachers that are used of the devil to deceive, will also be deceiving themselves, having themselves being deceived at the same time, waxing worse and worse, deceiving others and being deceived themselves. But listen at Numbers 31, in verse number 8. And they slew the kings of Midian, besides the rest of them that were slain, namely even Rimkin, Zur, Hur, Reba, five kings of Midian. And listen, and they slew Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. God had the godly people of Israel under the authority of Joshua and the leaders that were raised up by God to slay Balaam because his heart was perverse. It's very important that you go back and study in Numbers 22 and look at the different things that happened. And by the way, to be able to give an understanding of how the wise men saw the star in the east and came to where Jesus was born, you have to take up the prophecy of Balaam. You mean to tell me that some of the things he said are written in our book and written in the Bible and they're true? Yep. This old rat poison isn't all arsenic. Rat poison is part corn, ground corn. Rat wouldn't eat it if it was all arsen. It's good ground corn mingled with poison. And God is showing you that he can bring forth the purity and the truth of God's word from an old false prophet like Balaam. God can take this crooked stick and draw a straight line with it. Every man is God's servant. Not all men are God's sons. Everybody is under the authority of God, and he uses them according to his own will, and you cannot stand up against the deception like that. Dear friend, if you don't receive the love of the truth, not the love of the Bible, but the love of the person of the truth, Jesus Christ, and if you love me, he said, you will keep my commandments. If you don't receive the love of the truth, this God that can use Balaam to give the truth so that we are using it as we study the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and and showing in 2 Peter chapter 2 that he was a false prophet and he was an ungodly man. You're up against that kind of God. You need to be careful. And there's only one safety place that you can truly be spared and be safe. And that is in the person of the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is in the grace of Almighty God shown to us through his eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they received not the love of the truth. Oh, we got the truth. Didn't say that. Didn't say because you didn't believe the truth. Jot and tittle. I'll quote you verses. Devil could too. Read the third chapter of Matthew and listen how he quoted verses to Jesus. But he didn't love Jesus. You need to fall in love with the person of Jesus Christ. And you need to understand that you may not right now know what manner of spirit you are of. Be careful. Dear soul, ridicule me. Cast me off. Say he ain't going to tell me what to do. Or who does he think he is? That's fine. But be careful. This might be the last time God ever sends you a warning to straighten up and fly right, as they used to say, and to understand and learn what spirit, what manner of spirit you're of. Father, I pray you'd help us today that we would not be deceived with the deception that is upon our nation. I pray that you would deliver your people unto the life and light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you would bring them out of this. Come out of her, my people, that you be no partaker of her sins and of her plagues, for her plagues have reached heaven. God have mercy when God has finally had enough. And I pray that you would help God's people today, truly God's people, and bring them into the awareness and the full understanding of being involved in nothing but the Holy Spirit of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.